You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Free trade negotiations between Canada and Colombia were opened in June 2007. The move indicated the Canadian government's renewed focus on bilateral trade deals in the Americas. 1 year later, the Conservative government announced that the talks with Colombia had been completed. The negotiations were finished even before the Parliamentary Committee on International Trade released a report they were working on. The committee's report actually recommended that the government of Canada not sign a free trade agreement with Colombia until an independent human rights impact assessment had been carried out. Nonetheless, the Conservatives pushed the agreement forward, and it was signed in November 2008. Now those deals are awaiting passage in Parliament. Don Paley has joined me here in the studio to discuss recent developments on this trade deal. Don Paley is an independent journalist. Her recent article on the Canada-Colombia Free Trade Agreement can be found in the July-August issue of this magazine. Good morning, Don.
Good morning.
Now, just to give us some sort of overview, I'm going to begin with a quote from Liberal MP Scott Bryson. He said of this agreement that it would benefit the people of Colombia, and I quote, "The good, decent, and proud people of Colombia deserve a better future and the kind of economic opportunities provided by legitimate trade." How would you respond to his comments?
It's true. Of course, people of Colombia deserve a better, life and system than what they have now, living under a paramilitary-controlled narco state. But the kind of better life that I think many Colombians want is not the kind of thing that's achieved through free trade agreements that are actually more like investment protection agreements for large, Canadian corporations who want to go down, do business in Colombia, and make sure that they're not going to put their investors at risk by sort of investing in a risky country. So these free trade agreements are actually about locking in benefits for, North American and Canadian companies, and not about bettering the life of regular Colombians.
Okay, now a vote on the free trade agreement was supposed to take place last month. What happened there?
Well, it was on the order paper, and the Conservatives, they do want to go ahead with this deal, and there's certain Liberals like Scott Bryson and Bob Rae who also support it. And it went for its second reading. It's been debated 8 days since it was first since it was first discussed, which was in the spring. And through a lot of activism, a lot of campaigning, people across the country mobilized and really did a big push, especially targeting the Liberals, to say this deal should not go forward. It was pulled from the order paper. Spring, and then now in the fall, it's been just delayed and delayed and delayed because it's not clear that it will not result in a non-confidence vote, essentially, because the Bloc and the NDP very clearly don't support this deal, and there's Liberals waffling back and forth on it. So right now, it's on the order paper for they're going to recess right now for Thanksgiving, and it's on the order paper for October 19th. So it's been delayed successfully through a lot of activism and campaigning across Canada, and so that campaigning continues, obviously, but it could still pass. Like I did a little piece about it yesterday, and I basically said this deal is on life support, but it's still breathing, and it's still very possible that it is revived.
Now, you say it's on the order paper. What does that mean exactly?
Well, it's just the list of bills that government will be debating, voting on, discussing in Parliament. And you can go check that if you just Google, Parliament of Canada. You can actually see what's on the order paper for each week and each session and so on. So it's near the top, which means it would be one of the first things that would be discussed. The Bloc Québécois has proposed an amendment to the free trade agreement, which it relates back to this thing of having negotiated this deal before the Standing Committee on Foreign Affairs and International Trade had finished their report, which was actually meant to guide the negotiations. This is obviously a very tricky deal because of the just egregious human rights violations that are constantly occurring in Colombia, involving not only paramilitaries but also military, the Colombian government itself. So, this deal is super controversial, and it's kind of, we don't know where it's going to go, but the point is to keep pushing the Liberals to say, this is not the time to be supporting a deal with Colombia.
As you've mentioned, some Liberals support this deal, including Bob Rae. What is their rationale exactly?
Well, they use the sort of classic refrain that's also used by the conservatives. So Scott Bryson and Bob Rae went to Colombia. They went for less than 4 days over the summer, and they came back just knowing everything about Colombia and how it is, and you know, they managed to be set up to meet with all these Colombians who do support free trade agreement, and so on. So they've come back, and they're the new experts now on Colombia. What's the rationale? I mean, it's just that same old refrain that free trade is going to create jobs and investment and trade and prosperity, and all the things that we know at this point are not true. I mean, I've done quite a bit of work just looking specifically at this deal, and I can't see that there has been any serious economic analysis done of what the effects are actually going to be on the Colombian economy, on the Canadian economy in terms of jobs created. I don't see any evidence that there'll be major job creation through this deal. That's what they always say. Why the Liberals, I mean, why these two in particular? Scott Bryson is a trade critic. I kind of think he might be sort of trying to, you know, build his profile as a potential future foreign affairs minister or international trade minister were there to be a Liberal government majority, right? So it's, you know, it's just these guys playing this sort of personal interest, trying to build their own profile. But they're really waiting in risky territory, because when a bill is removed from the order paper numerous times, the people who put it forward and the people who've invested a lot in it start to lose credibility in Parliament. So, you know, we'll see where this goes. But unfortunately, you know, it is just being sort of moved around and used as a political game and a you know, a thing between the Liberals and the Conservatives, and which way is it going to go, we don't know. But it's a very serious deal, particularly because the U.S. has not signed, they have not ratified the free trade agreement with Colombia because of union pressure in the United States. So a lot of people have said that this Canadian deal would be like a way of facilitating the U.S. eventual signing of a free trade agreement with Colombia, this sort of like a backdoor way into Colombia, one for the multinational corporations in North America, but two, you know, so that in the context of the U.S. they can say, well, it can't be that bad. Canada, you know, Canada did it, with this whole sort of myth of the good Canada and so on. So, it's a tricky spot, but it's just going to be, you know, constant ongoing campaigning with the Liberals to say, you know, we can't sign this deal right now, not with a regime like Alvaro Uribe's regime in Colombia.
Okay. Now, you said that Scott Bryson, the MP who's a strong advocate, and Bob Rae, they were set up to meet with government leaders and pro-government labor leaders and so on. If they were to step outside that zone, what would they see?
Well, you know, they did this as well. The standing committee went down last spring, and they were actually not. They were, you know, they were told it was safe and that the country's fine and everything's improving and so on. But the reality is they weren't allowed to leave Bogota on their trip. They did not leave the capital. You know, I've worked quite a bit in the south in Cauca. It's really the only region that I know somewhat well, and also Valle de Cauca. So this is sort of in the sugarcane area, and it's a highly you know, it's one of the most affected areas by the internal conflict. So you have military checkpoints, you know, very often you have, you know, essentially death squads working in the cities. You have, you know, all constant threats from paramilitary groups, a lot of repression from the state. There's been recently a number of massacres of indigenous people in particular. So you as soon as you leave the city of Bogota, which, you know, it's true that to a large extent the internal conflict is not visible in the city. You can walk around, and, you know, it's kind of like Central America, I think, was in the 1980s. Like, you can walk through Guatemala City and it's fine. It's actually out in the fields and where the peasants and the poor people and the indigenous people and Afro-Colombians live, that the real conflict is happening between all these different actors and you know, narco-trafficking paramilitaries, guerrillas, and the army. So it's a disaster. I mean, I've never spent more than a week down there without, you know, directly with the people that I've been working with, people being shot in the face, people being disappeared, people being killed and murdered. So, and, you know, it's a you know, people are very, very careful about traveling around. If you ever get in a taxi, you note the license plate number, always phoning when you get somewhere, when you're going somewhere, accompanied by somebody else almost all the time, just because the security situation is so bad and it is so dangerous. And what we see is that essentially, and this is what I wrote about in the article in this magazine, the people who are targeted by the state and also by paramilitaries and guerrillas are the people that speak out, that speak up on behalf of their community, that say, we have rights. We have rights to, you know, this territory, we have rights to a good wage. Those are the folks that end up going into hiding, that end up being disappeared, tortured, murdered, because they present an inconvenience to the sort of dominant system, the economic system, which is highly exploitative. And, you know, something like a free trade agreement, it's just going to lock in, you know, more Colombian sugar in Canada. And who benefits from Colombian sugar? I mean, it does give jobs to a certain sector of the population. It's being mechanized and mechanized and mechanized. But essentially, it's the oligarchy in Colombia that's controlling the sugar production. Those same folks own, you know, the soft drink companies, the major television networks, and so on. So you see the folks that are going to benefit, you know, through the free trade agreement. And it's actually quite a small handful of industrialists, most of whom are actually in North America, though, because the joke with these free trade agreements is also that there'd still be quotas to some extent on certain products like sugar and so on, we think, possibly. So it's like, it's just a political move to essentially lend a hand of support to the government of Álvaro Uribe, which has been disgraced so many times through all these different scandals. Like, just, you know, the parliament is rife with scandals. At one point, like, half of the members of Congress were in jail because of their connection to paramilitaries. So it's why Canada wants to do a deal with Colombia is, you know, I just think it's a way of helping out basically the U.S. in their you know, wanting to also do the same deal, which, again, it's all about protecting the investments of North American corporations.
Returning to the parliamentary sort of situation, where do the Conservatives go from here?
Well, that's a tough question. I mean, the Conservatives are fully in support, which is why the campaign that has been happening around this agreement has been targeting Liberals, thinking during the last federal election, Stéphane Dion said, we will not support this agreement. The Liberals don't support it. The Conservatives, you know, they're going to want to try to get the Liberals on board and try to get them to support this deal, and if all the Liberals support the deal, then it's going to pass. But we'll see. I mean, there's this amendment that needs to be voted on. It'll go to committee. There'll be the human rights assessment that they're claiming they can do while the bill is in committee, which you know, outside observers say is pretty much you know, it's absurd that they would do that. That, you know, the human rights assessment should be done well before this agreement is even making its way through Parliament. As was recommended by the committee itself, and then, you know, that I guess the Conservative best case scenario would be that they could push it through Parliament and pass it successfully. But it's really not sure right now. So, you know, folks are encouraged to contact NDP and Bloc and say thank you for your work on this. You know, it's been good that they've been able to delay it and that they've responded to the massive outpouring of support that they, you know, stop this deal, don't do this deal with Colombia, and also contact Liberals and say, you know what, like, you know, your constituents or Canadians are opposed to this agreement, and you know, hopefully it doesn't go through.
You've mentioned, we've talked about Scott Bryson and we've talked about Bob Rae. They're very strong advocates of this deal, but some other Liberals are not so enthusiastic about it. Can people still influence them and their votes?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, strategic Liberals to try to get in touch with are the Liberals that are part of the Standing Committee on Foreign Affairs and International Trade. And I'm not sure by name which ones at this point are leaning towards supporting the deal or not, other than the very outspoken supporters. But certainly contacting all the Liberals just to say, just a reminder, you know, I've already written you, you know, three or four times. I just want to let you know, like, I'm steadfast in my rejection of this deal.
Okay. Thanks for coming in and updating us on this very important issue, Dawn.
It's always a pleasure. Thanks very much.
I've been talking with Dawn Paley. Dawn is an independent journalist and contributing editor with The Dominion. Her article on the Canada-Colombia Free Trade Agreement can be found in the July-August issue of this magazine. You can find that at this.org. Dawn also provides regular updates on Colombia and other issues at her blog. You can find that at dominionpaper.ca/webblogs/Dawn.